Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us this Wednesday afternoon as we begin the program. Just to advise you, yes, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule, which I keep reminding all of our listeners is some 5 hours ahead of us. So it is nearly, 11:10 p.m. his time, so he's resting, I'm sure, very soundly. Tom, good morning to me as we speak, afternoon to you as we are speaking to you there in London. So how's the weather there?
Terrible. It's awful. It's been raining now for about, I'd say 10 days and likely to keep raining for another 10 days.
Is this because of hurricane?
I'm starting to build an ark.
Is this because of Hurricane Dorian?
No, it's just, this time of year, it starts getting a bit colder, a bit wetter. We have a bit of a rainy season in the winter.
Oh, okay. And what's the temperature?
The temperature is just about 60, just either on 60 or just below it.
And by the way, that is Fahrenheit, because just to remind
you. That is Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
If it was centigrade, yeah.
don't feel bad. No, just to remind folks that in spite of his accent and at times his proclivity to promote the British standard of living, he still is an expat, and that his American roots still run deep. And of course, the joy of that in the UK, other than Celsius, is they still work in feet and inches there in the UK, do they not?
Well, they're trying to switch to meters. I have never adjusted to centigrade, and I've never really adjusted to the metric system.
No, same shame.
I can't even mentally calculate them back and forth. It's a block.
I share that block with you. All right, a lot to talk about today. I guess we'll just start with I want to start with Brexit at the very opening, simply because there's anticipation that there's a solution in the wings. How true.
And there's anticipation that it will fail.
Oh.
Both are on the table. It could go either way. It's changing minute by minute. There was supposed to be a deadline of midnight last night, but they didn't make it. It's supposed to be by, who knows what the new deadline is. There is in about an hour, there's going to be a joint press conference by the German Chancellor Angela Merkel and by the French President Emmanuel Macron on whether or not they think that there's going to be a Brexit deal. There's supposed to be a summit meeting on Thursday and Friday, that's tomorrow and the day after, of EU leaders, where they're supposed to decide whether or not to accept the final deal, which has not been finalized yet. And there's supposed to be a special sitting of Parliament on Saturday, the first time they've had a Saturday sitting for donkey's years, to decide whether or not to accept what Boris Johnson and the European Commission have negotiated or have not negotiated.
Do we have any idea what they've negotiated?
Well, that's a very good question. The latest estimate is that only about 5 or 6 people actually know what the terms are. They're keeping them very secret. But there's little bits that are slipping out. And one diplomat has hinted that the main issue, is Northern Ireland,
mm-hmm.
or may know, is Northern Ireland, that Northern Ireland, it is decided on a sort of diplomatic fudge that it will be legally part of the UK, that its trade, its regulations and everything else will legally be part of the UK. But in de facto terms, in practical terms, it will be part of Ireland and the EU, which is called a diplomatic fudge. And the border between the UK and the EU will not be between Northern Ireland and Ireland, but will, in practical terms, but not in legal terms, be down the Irish Sea. Now, the big problem with this is that the Democratic Unionist Party which the Conservatives rely on to pass any legislation of any kind, don't like this at all, because basically it ties them much more closely to Ireland, practically makes them part of Ireland, which they don't want to be. So whether or not it will get through Parliament, or whether or not, in fact, that is what's on the table, remains to be seen.
This requires literally a map. And as a matter of fact, the sad part of this, Tom, is I think we should have a Facebook posting so that we can draw these little lines. Northern Ireland, of course, is part of the United Kingdom. Ireland itself, well, it's a separate country, but is it not a protectorate of the UK?
No.
Okay.
Completely independent.
It's totally independent. All right. So Northern...
It used to be part of Great Britain.
Right.
Up until 1923, I think.
Okay. So now Northern Ireland, of course, is part of the United Kingdom. And we have goods coming into Northern Ireland, coming into Ireland and then crossing into Northern Ireland and therefore into the United Kingdom. And so it's the confusing aspect of this. Northern Ireland is part of Ireland and the European Union, and yet it's part of the UK at the same time?
Yes.
Totally.
I know. I don't know how it's going to work.
I
have no idea. That is what, you know, has been hinted at. I'm not saying that's
okay.
A definitive thing that's on the table.
But that
is what is being hinted at.
All right. The pivotal, but Northern Ireland is, if you, for all intents and purposes, is the pivotal issue. And of course, you've described concerns about the influx of products coming into the UK and the fact that there would be these long quays and queue lines of products waiting to get approved through customs and further review as they come into across the border. There's some major concerns there. What is the attitude right now there in Great Britain and in the UK, particularly in the environs of London? Is there a sense that maybe after it all pans out that it won't be as bad as people had anticipated?
The country is still divided. I was just looking at the latest opinion polls. It's almost 50-50, those who want to remain in the EU and those who want to leave.
It's still
50-50. Having said that, I think there is a growing tendency of people to say, we just want to get it over and done with. We're tired of it.
Is there a possibility, Tom, that when it's all said and done, that though there will be an exit from the EU, Brexit as it's called, that when it's all said and done, nothing changes and basically it's business as usual, it's just everybody has bragging rights?
Well, we don't know for certain, do we?
Well, but it sounds like it is.
All we can go on is what the various economists and think tanks and things like that have projected, because we have no template against which to measure this. This is completely uncharted waters. And all the economists and the Treasury officials, the government officials and everyone else are saying, you know, that it will have a bad effect on British jobs, the British economy, the European economy, European jobs, Britain's political position in the world and everything else. So we can only go on what they are predicting. Because, as I said, there is nothing to go by. There's no precedent for this.
Okay, and we're going to get into the economy of this and impact on Europe in a few moments. Let's talk about the Queen's speech. And, of course, that requires a cessation of Parliament, does it not?
It did. It required 4 days cessation. One, for the Queen to give her speech. And two, to debate what was in the Queen's speech. Now, you know, the question which you're next going to ask, so I will anticipate it, is, what is the Queen's speech?
Right.
The Queen's speech is written for her by the Prime Minister. So she just reads what he wrote. And it basically sets out the legislative program for the government. It says what they want to introduce. And during the term of the next Parliament, which would be, is usually 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that the Queen rolls up to Parliament in her state coach. She goes into the House of Lords because she's not allowed into the House of Commons. The House of Commons is summoned to the House of Lords, and she gives her speech. And basically, the speech this year was like an election manifesto. You know, it was a giveaway. You know, Boris Johnson says, I'm going to increase the number of police. I'm going to increase the amount of housing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Basically spending an awful lot of money because he's going to have an election very, very soon. Oh. And so he was using the Queen's speech to electioneering, for electioneering purposes.
What happens if the Queen does not, or the Royal Highness, Queen or King, choose not to, I mean, it feels uncomfortable.
They can't.
Really?
They can't. They have to do
wow.
what the Prime Minister tells them.
Oh, okay. It is purely perfunctory. This is really for ceremonial purposes, then, for all intents and purposes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio chatting with us from London, England, here on Viewpoints Around the World. Stay tuned. We have more to talk about related to the economies of Europe and the impacts of Brexit, but also we'll get into topics of world politics. And yes, we're going to come around to the issue of what's going on in the United States as well. Stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Joining us from London, England. And Tom, before we get into other issues that, in fact, influence the United States, let's talk here about a few other items there in the UK, and a particular note here, I want to bring this up early, the effect of Thomas Cook, and it's a major travel agency there, homeported in the UK, I think in London, but Thomas Cook, renowned, the oldest travel agency, I think, in the world. You've got a note here about the collapse having a major impact on the Spanish economy?
It is. Well, it's having an impact on lots of different economies, but Spain is a favorite tourist destination for a lot of people in Europe. It's sun, sea, sand, it's European, it has history and architecture and everything else. They reckon that as a result of the collapse of Thomas Cook, which did not just fly from London, it flew from all over Europe,
mm-hmm.
there would be 1.3 million fewer visitors to Spain this autumn and winter than there were last year.
Oh.
That's 1.3 million. They also estimate that 500 hotels will close as a result.
Now, that is a number that way you can get your mind around as far as both as the size, a reasonable number, but also the size of what we're talking about. That's significant. That's just in Spain.
That's just in Spain. Tourism is Spain's biggest industry.
Let's talk about another item, UK. Climate change protesters banned in London? What?
Yeah, well, this is something because, you know, the British pride themselves, as do Americans, on the right to demonstrate and protest.
Yes.
But we've had these Extinction Rebellion, they're called, climate change protesters, most of whom are what I would call, you know, middle class. They're lawyers and doctors and university students and people like that. And they have been basically closing down London on and off for the past month.
Oh.
They glue themselves to buildings. They chain themselves to buildings. One climbed on top of a plane. In one day, 1,400 protesters were arrested.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, it is, they are really bringing London to a halt. And so the police have said, that's it. You can't protest anymore. Extinction Rebellion is banned from protesting. Well, immediately people protested that they weren't allowed to protest, including the mayor, Sadiq Khan. And if anything, it's encouraged them to protest even more.
the shame of it all is because it's out of the control of really many in London and even the policymakers. It's a worldwide issue. Tom, let's talk about the issue and staying with the UK for a few more moments. This is a sad story related to an incident with a U.S. Citizen, the wife, I think, of a military attaché or somebody associated with the military, I think the Air Force, who unfortunately was involved in a car accident that took the lives of one or two people. One person. And, of course, the individual involved in the driving of the car, the person charged, has been moved back to the States. And there was an effort by the family. Let's talk about this.
Well, it was the wife of an intelligence officer.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she collided with a 19-year-old motorcyclist, and he died, and as soon as it happened, she reported to the police, said that she wouldn't leave the country, and then was immediately given diplomatic immunity by the State Department and whisked out of the country along with the rest of her family. And the parents of the young lad and the British Foreign Office were told that she would not be coming back to the UK to help with the investigation. Well, you know, this is, this is unheard of. And so the family, who are called the Dunns, it was Harry Dunn was the young lad who was killed. They were invited to Washington. They were invited to see the president, who would explain and extend his condolences. Hmm. And while they were in the White House, he said that Mrs. Sakoulis, who's the woman who was driving the car, was also in the White House and was prepared to meet her. They were very angry about this because they felt as if they'd been ambushed.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't prepared to meet Mrs. Sakoulis. They'd always said they will meet Mrs. Sakoulis when she's back on British soil, where the incident occurred, but not before.
Right. You know, this sadly has reminders of ASAP Rocky in Sweden, in fact, where the president insisted that that individual should be tried in U.S. courts, not in the Swedish courts.
And he's saying the same thing here.
Right.
He's saying that the woman should be tried according to American law in an American court.
Right.
Now, this just doesn't fit in with everyone else in the world who believes that if you commit a crime in a foreign country, you are subject to that country's
right.
laws.
No, that's a major concern. All right, I want to move on to other items, and we're going to go to a break. We're coming back to the issues associated with the United States here in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. I want to go to the issue of sports, and you sent me an item related to racial segregation in sports, but also I've got to bring up the topic of sports and China. So let's start with the topic of racial segregation on sports. What's going there?
Well, it's racial abuse rather than segregation.
Oh.
It's mainly coming from Eastern Europe,
okay.
Which does not have a great number of ethnic minorities.
Mm.
But we had a football match just the other day where the England national team, played the Bulgarian national team in Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was stopped twice because of racial abuse. Bulgarians were dressed in black. That is a group of Bulgarians, a few hundred.
Hmm.
They were making monkey noises,
wow.
throwing banana skins on the football pitch, giving Nazi salutes.
Bulgarians. Wow.
And things like that. Obviously the black players on the England team got a bit cross.
I think. And not only that, it's amazing. All right. That is an issue that I think, makes us more aware of the differences that, and the comparisons, in other countries. Then one other aspect, I've got to focus this on sports and here with the NBA and China. And yesterday, or actually 2 days ago, LeBron James announced his support, tangentially, if you will, to the Chinese government, the mainland Chinese government, in their dispute with the residents and folks in Hong Kong, the protesters, which has greatly damaged the image, I think, of LeBron James among the Chinese, but particularly the NBA. How is that being reported there in the UK and around the world? What is their opinion of, you know, sports in the United States and this desire to influence politics?
Well, let's do a sort of hierarchy of different games here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soccer or football is the number one sport in the world.
Agreed. Agreed.
Okay. And it is political, as we just pointed out with Bulgaria. And the number two sport, surprise, surprise, is basketball.
Wow.
It is the second most popular sport in the world. And it is because it can be played, you know, in so many different countries.
Right.
It's very big in countries like Scandinavia and things like that.
Wow.
And it's big in Russia. And of course, as we know, it's very big in China, thanks to Yao Ming.
Mm-hmm.
Now in China, everything is secondary to whatever the party thinks.
Right.
It all comes within the context of the party. So if someone from basketball, or if they're playing American football, or if they're playing soccer, criticized anything that the party was doing, then that sport would be attacked.
Okay. The question I have, though, and I won't belabor this, but what's the opinion now about the U.S. sports and politics? Does the European community, well, does the world community think that sports players should be engaged in promoting political issues?
I don't think necessarily they should be involved in promoting political issues, but they should have the right of freedom of speech.
Okay. Well, no question. And of course, right now, the NBA is.
I don't think that organizations should necessarily speak on behalf of the sports organization about a political issue.
Well,
but that doesn't stop individuals from expressing their opinion.
Well, it is interesting, and I will say that the NBA has taken quite a hit here, even in the United States, as of course they have in Hong Kong. And I just was wondering if there was critical remarks about the sports players and pro sports in general. By the way, just a quick note, I assume you were there to watch the Panthers play there in London?
I wasn't, but my son was.
And? Was he impressed?
And he enjoyed every minute of it.
Oh, that...
Unfortunately, the team he supported lost.
Well, so much for our conversation with our former friend, Tom Arms. Well, actually, his son. Tom knows better.
I support the Panthers because I have relatives who live in Charlotte.
Good man. Few points around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. More to come right after this break.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, we've talked about a lot of things, but we haven't touched on issues here in the States. I've got to go first to the topic of continued dispute in Congress over impeachment. And now, of course, the concerns related to the president's private attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and then, of course, Joe Biden and others. And of course, the loss of the diplomat in the Ukraine. Is that being covered significantly there in the European press?
Line by line.
Really? Yeah, really?
Word by word. It's all being covered. The BBC, wrapping it up, I know it's a separate subject, but it's all being tied in with the Kurds and Turkey and Syria. And the BBC did a viewpoint or sort of editorial, they call it a viewpoint, in which they said that this was the turning point for Trump this past week, and that he's on the way out. They didn't think he'd be impeached because the Republicans had the majority in the Senate, and Trump seems to have captured Republicans in the Senate completely hook, line, and sinker. They think his chances of being reelected now, with everything, I'm not just talking about Giuliani, but I'm talking about the Kurds and Syria and ISIS and everything, that his chances of being reelected have really receded dramatically.
Let's talk about Turkey, Kurds, Syria, And of course, we'll bring in Russia as well. What is the feeling there about what's happening in Syria right now?
Well, they're very angry. People are very angry and upset at the way it's been done, and that it's been done. You just have to see the consequence already that ISIS fighters are being freed from prison or escaping from prison. The Kurds have sought sanctuary in an alliance with Syria, which nobody wants the Assad regime to succeed. That Russia is rushing in to fill the vacuum that has been left by American withdrawal, thus increasing Russian influence. It seems to be a complete and utter cock-up.
But okay, let's talk about this. And I was reading a headline recently about the issue that the situation in Syria was spiraling out of control. That was the headline. My reaction to that was, when was it ever in control that it would worry, we would worry about spiraling? Turkey, Russia, Syria, and let's throw in Iran. And my question is, it's as I've described it recently, it's a pit of vipers. And I'm wondering, what's the prediction here? Will Turkey and Syria come to an agreement? Will Russia and Turkey and Syria come to an agreement? Will Iran and all of them come to an agreement? What is the prediction?
I don't think there is a prediction, and that's part of the problem. That, you know, the withdrawal here has created a lot of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And uncertainty is usually followed by chaos, political vacuums, and things like that. It creates an opportunity for terrorists to come to the fore, or for your enemies like Russia to do so.
Obviously, there's been discussion about European army, NATO involvement. What is the future of that? Is there a sense that anything can be done to even bring a sense of calm to the area? I don't see how it's possible, but
there is no European army. Okay. Let's get that absolutely straight.
All right.
There is no European army. So it can't go, something that doesn't exist cannot go into Syria.
All right, let's talk NATO.
Now, as for NATO, in order for NATO to become involved, all the members of the alliance have to agree.
Mm-hmm.
One of those members is Turkey. So you can't get a NATO agreement because to get a NATO agreement, one of the members of the alliance would have to agree that all the other members of the alliance are going to fight it.
All right. That's a very interesting observation. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us here on Viewpoints Around the World. Let's talk about the Russian, you've got a note here, and it's true, Russian opportunities in the Middle East. One moment, there's a concern that we're headed for a cold war with Russia. The next moment, we would like to see if we can't create a more peaceful relationship. What's this with Russia? What's the feeling? Is Russia, it strikes me that Russia may find itself in a quagmire.
Well, Russia's been very good with their diplomacy in the Middle East. They've been very successful. I think that Putin at this moment, or he's just finished a state visit to Saudi Arabia, where the red carpet was rolled out to him. He's got good relations with Israel. You know, a lot of people think, you know, oh, well, you know, America's the one that has a great relation. Russia also has very good relations with Israel. And of course, he appears to back the right horse in Syria. Assad is now winning.
Right.
And he's doing it with Russian help and with the help of the Iranians, whom the Russians also have good relations with.
What is it?
So, you know, he's offering himself to a certain degree, they think, as an honest broker between Saudi Arabia and Iran. He is helping where he can with Israel. He has helped Assad establish himself with Syria, in Syria. He's doing this much more quietly. It's a sort of quiet diplomacy. He is moving in and filling what people think is a political vacuum that Trump is creating.
Well, is that not considered possibly a good thing to have Russia part of a peace negotiation rather than being?
I think it's always good to have Russia involved in peace negotiation. You want them to be part of the guarantor of any peace agreement, wherever it may be in the world. But to have them be the dominant player is not good.
Okay, that's interesting observation on your part. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, let's talk about Assad and Turkey. Syria and Turkey are not always friendly. And I'm wondering, does that not pose an opportunity for the European Union to get closer with Erdogan?
They don't want to get closer to Erdogan. They've had problems with Erdogan for years.
Right.
I don't think it poses an opportunity at all for them to get closer with Erdogan. Erdogan now is threatening to let loose the roughly 3 million refugees who he's been looking after on behalf of the European Union at a cost of, I think, about $4 billion a year.
Mm.
He's threatening to let them loose and let them go off to Europe. And so, you know, relations between Turkey and the EU are as bad as ever.
Wow.
If not worse.
Yeah.
Because the EU certainly has come out and said they do not support, they in no way support the Turkish encroachment.
Okay.
I was going to say invasion. Encroachment into northern Syria. They oppose it. They have slapped embargoes on the sale of military equipment to Turkey. And they are very much in opposition.
But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out between Syria and Turkey. And, of course, finding Russia in the middle of those that issue will be fascinating. I in some regards, and, of course, we have a certain element here in the States who are saying we've invested too much treasure in that portion of the world and with very little to show for it. Let's move on to another item. And, of course, related to disruption and unrest. Catalonia.
Can I just answer that last point?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You've actually got a lot to show for it. You've had decades and decades of oil pouring into the American economy. And that's been mainly because you've managed to keep the area, and it's been primarily an American effort. You've managed to keep the area fairly stable.
Well,
I mean, it's not completely stable, but it was a lot more stable than it is now.
One thing's for sure, we're seeing that firsthand. All right, let's move on to an issue. We've talked about this in the past. Spain and Catalonian rebels. What's happening?
Well, as you know, they had an independence referendum a little while ago.
Right.
And as a result, a number of senior Catalonian politicians were arrested.
Mm.
They were arrested and they were put on trial. And this past week, they were sentenced for sedition.
Ooh.
They were sentenced for between 9 and 12 years, about a dozen of them.
These are politicians. These are politicians we're talking about.
These are politicians, elected politicians in Catalonia,
wow,
who were sentenced for the crime of sedition for organizing an independence referendum. As a result, riots have broken out in Catalonia.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the foreign ministries, European, I suppose, State Department as well, have issued travel advisories telling people to steer clear of places like Barcelona, that, you know, you could find yourself in the middle of a demonstration or a riot at the drop of a hat.
Mm.
They invaded the airport. They stopped hundreds of flights. The police had to use tear gas and riot batons to break up the riots. So Catalonia is currently in a mess.
You know, it's interesting to bring it back to a quick note, and then we'll take a break. We were talking about, of course, the failure of the Thomas Cook agency and the fact that you said it was going to have such a negative impact on Spain. This, too, is going to have a negative impact on Spain as well.
Absolutely. Barcelona is a big tourism destination.
All right. Viewpoints around the world, which is what we're getting this afternoon here with Tom Arms. Viewpoints around the world. Stay tuned for more. We're going to be wrapping it up. I've got one serious item to talk about, elections in Poland and Budapest. But then we're going to talk about car park mushrooms. That sounds interesting. Stay tuned for more here on Viewpoints around the world.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And we're going to change one item I just mentioned a moment ago. Instead of talking about the elections in Budapest and Poland, I want to go back to the topic of Hong Kong. There is some serious concern here, Tom, that China is bearing down on Hong Kong very seriously. What is the concern there in the European Union, the communities?
They are very concerned, but they don't think that China will use the military to completely crack down on the protesters in Hong Kong. They think that the repercussions of doing so would be so enormous that they will avoid it at all costs. Now, how they're going to avoid it, nobody knows. But there's several things. One is that if they crack down on Hong Kong, it means that the people in Taiwan, who've also, that they're trying to court them with the principle of one country, two systems. The people in Taiwan will say, well, you know, you're hypocritical. There's no way we're going to agree to your two country, one systems. And in fact, the anti-Beijing lobby in Hong Kong, in Taiwan is getting a huge boost at the moment. At the moment, the protests in Hong Kong are not being reported by the Chinese media. But if they send in the troops, there's no way they can avoid it. You know, they're going to have to report it. And if they do, that could have a backlash with the middle classes in China, who will see their hard-earned rights and liberties, which they've managed to get in the past 10 or 15 years, just evaporating as well. And you could get another Tiananmen Square in China. At least that is the thinking here in Europe.
Very interesting. All right, Tom, let's move to, and I'm finding this fascinating, car park mushrooms in Paris. What are we talking about?
Yes. I found this really interesting. Back in the 60s and 70s, the French authorities built lots of new housing, and every new apartment block had an underground car park because they thought everyone's going to be driving their cars all the time. But all these climate change protesters, they've had their impact. There are fewer cars in Paris, and so there's lots of empty underground car parks. And so they've turned them into mushroom farms.
Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. You can't avoid the ingenuity of mankind. As always, yep. Thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Looking forward to next week's final issue as well. Always fun item. Tom, best to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.